This is the Sunday that we remember Jesus entering into Jerusalem and the crowds waving palm branches and chanting and making way for Jesus as he rode in on a colt. They laid their garments on the floor, they waved palm branches and they shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They were shouting, "Hosanna." The word has in it a connotation, a meaning of save. And in a sense, what they're doing is they're saying to Jesus, I think, because Jesus would have known what that meant for him to be able to save his people. They were pointing, actually, the words of acclamation were pointing towards Jesus' death. Jesus knew what laid before him as he entered Jerusalem, as that Hosanna was cried out. I think that Jesus knew before him was death on the cross. In fact, if we'd read a few more verses, it says that Jesus said this in order to show what sort of death he was going to experience. And Jesus knew that the cross lay before him and that crucifixion was an excruciating death. But that he also would be bearing our sins on the tree. He would take in his body the sins that were ours so that we could be forgiven. He knew that it would involve separation from his Father, the one who just spoke a word of glory over him, of affirmation, that relationship would be cut as Jesus took our sin in his body on the tree. We continue to look at some of the responses that came in through the Who Cares survey that we did. And one of the things that people said was a worry to them, a concern, something that hurt them, was either themselves facing death or fear of death or somebody that they knew and loved who had died, and that still hurt. And I want us to ask the question this morning, really, is how can we face death well? How can we deal with death and death for ourselves that we're all moving towards? Some of us are a bit closer than others. It's been said that there are two things in life that are certain, death and taxes. And the statistic is that one in one people die. And we're all moving towards death. I think one of the interesting facts that came out from the survey was that actually it's often younger people who are more afraid of death than it is older people. But how do we face death well? I wonder if you'd take your palm cross again. And I wonder if you'd hold it up in front of your face and you'd look at it and just maybe look at something on it that you can pick out, some of the sort of stripes in the palm or something like that. I've got some little hairy bits coming off mine. But now, I know this is not good for all of you, but I wonder if you could look, hold the cross where it is, but look through it and look at me. See, the thing is that when we focus on what's before us, we only see what's before us. But when we look to the distance, the cross is still there. But our eyes look beyond that and see beyond, and it doesn't become the focus of our attention. And the writer of the Hebrews said, "Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame." See, Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and he knew the cross was before him. But I think Jesus looked beyond the cross for the joy that was set before him. And what was the joy that was set before Jesus? You. Jesus saw you set before him. And he thought, blow the cross. That's just a step in order that I might know you in eternity. That I might know you now and have a relationship with you. The joy that was set before Jesus, his looking beyond the cross, was you. And today you bring joy to his heart when you give yourself to him. Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Jesus knew what was on this palm branch covered, cloak covered road. He knew that it led to the cross. But his focus was not on the cross, but what he would achieve through the cross. Your salvation, my salvation, your forgiveness, my forgiveness. And for each one of us, in some way or another, death either is looming on the horizon or actually has happened to us, whether that be the death of somebody close to us, a loved one, or whether it be us drawing closer to that point of death. I think it was Ian that was saying last week when he watches that program 24 hours in A&E that people leave their house in the morning, never expect to end up in hospital where they are because of something that's happened. And life is uncertain. And how do we face the future, particularly death, with certainty? You know, I think we had one of the greatest privileges this week as we came to the funeral of Mary. She was a person who faced death well. In fact, meeting with Mary in those weeks and days leading up to her death, she was quite nonchalant about death. She was very concerned about what should be in her funeral, and her funeral plan was planned right down to the nth degree. And she told me what passages she wanted me to preach on, and how she wanted me to preach. She chose the songs. But there was something about Mary's faith and confidence in her Savior that didn't mean that she was worried about death, because she knew that her future was certain, and that she would go to be with her Lord. See, I think that Mary would have echoed, and in a sense did echo, not necessarily saying these words, but what she said really was this: for me to live is Christ, but to die is so much better. St. Paul talks about looking through a glass that's dark, and we sort of get a glimpse of what's behind it, but then when we die, we come face to face with the one who loved us, who died for us because we were the joy set before him. And Mary, I think, exemplified that perfectly. She lived a life for Jesus, but also she was looking forward to going to be with him forever. And for Mary, to live was Christ, but to die was gain, because she knew what she would get. She knew that eternal life would be face-to-face encounter with Jesus, that it would be a place where the burdens have gone, the restrictions of our bodies are gone, the restrictions of this earthly life, the freedom from sin, the freedom from sickness, pain and tears. And it would bring a place of perfect worship, of perfect communication with her Savior, of perfect love, a perfect relationship. See, Mary was certain because we have the promise of a certain future. And today, each one of us can be 100% rock solid sure that we will expend eternity with Jesus in heaven. See, John, writing in his epistles, said this: I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. He writes so that we can be completely assured that we have eternal life. Not that we just hope, not that we think if we're good enough we'll get it, but know with a certainty that we have eternal life. And he goes on to say this, and this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. If you have God's Spirit living in you, Jesus living in you, then you have eternal life, 100% guaranteed. And you can know that today by asking God to come into your life, if you haven't already done so. But then he says that his Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. That's why the work of the Holy Spirit is so important. Because as we allow him to come in, he affirms in us that we belong to Jesus, that we're his children. And he begins to remove that doubt. Oh, am I really good enough? Have I made that decision? But as we allow God's Spirit to change and transform us, we have that assurance. That's the work of God's Spirit, to affirm that we are children of God. This is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. So there's this promise of a certain future, but there's also the promise of a secure relationship. In fact, when Mary chose the passage of scripture that she wanted me to preach from, she told me what it was, and I thought it would be this passage, because she talked about Romans 8. And this is the passage in Romans 8. It says this. Again, it's the Apostle Paul writing. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation is able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." Not only can we be sure of an eternal future, but we can be sure that nothing ever will separate us from God and his love. Jesus' death on the cross has defeated the devil and sin. He has won the victory. And because of his victory, we can be secure, knowing that nothing else has the power to separate us from the love of God. How do we face death well? We face it knowing that we have a certain future, 100% sure, that we can never be separated from God's love. But then there's a third promise, and that's of his presence with us. See, Jesus says, "I don't expect you to go through this alone, but I'll walk with you." In Matthew's gospel, when he commissions his disciples, he says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." In Hebrews, he says again, "I will never leave you or forsake you." I was showing somebody recently the Amplified Bible, where it says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And the Amplified Bible puts it something like this: "I will never leave you, abandon you, leave you as orphans. I will not, I will not, I will not in any way let you down or relax my grasp upon you." God has hold of you, and he promises to walk with you. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Why? "Because you are with me," said David. And we can face death with certainty because It's not about what we've done, but it's about what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And as we accept what he's done, he gives us this guarantee of eternal life, that nothing can break that relationship, and that his presence will go with us. But he goes one step further. See, the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. And we might still be fearful as we approach death. We don't know what it will be like, whether it will be painful, whether it will be difficult. But we've still no need to fear, because Jesus says that he wants to fill us with his love. And his love will cast out the fear of death. And Romans 5:5 says that God's love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And as we allow God's Spirit to fill us and transform us, we get to that point, what Glyn was saying, that actually she doesn't care what happens now. That it's fun and exciting. And when we trust God, we can know our lives are 100% secure. It all comes back to our relationship with Jesus. When we know him and love him, we know that we have eternal life. We know that nothing can separate us from his love. And we know that he will walk with us even in the valley of the shadow of death. My prayer for all of us today, whatever stage of our life we're at, is that we will look to the future and beyond our death, to the time that we will go to be with the Lord in glory, where when he sees you, he will smile and welcome you, because you are the joy that was set before him, so that he endured the cross and scorned its shame. Would you stand and let me pray? So, I realized this morning that there will be people here who have recently lost loved ones. I realize there will be people here who are still hurting, who have lost loved ones maybe several years ago. And I realize that there might be some of us very conscious that we're fast approaching the end of our lives as we become more frail and things become more difficult. And I want to pray that God would pour his love into our hearts by his Spirit, that he would cast out fear, that he would bring a hope and a certainty, and he would fill us with joy, the joy that he knows when he looks at you and sees you. And again, I'll just invite you, if you want to receive from God, this really says, touch me if you dare. And this says, I'm ready to receive all that you have for me. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you went on that road to Calvary, and we thank you that you didn't turn back, but that you went to the cross so that we could be saved and forgiven. Thank you that you give us assurance of eternal life by your Spirit, and that you cast out all fear as you pour your love into our hearts. So, Lord, we invite you now. Would you come and would you fill us and fill our hearts with your love? Would you remove fear? Would you fill us with your grace and your love and the confidence that we are your children? Come, Holy Spirit, and do your work within us, we pray, in Jesus' name. As we just remain standing in quiet. We sang right at the beginning. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. That's not head knowledge. That's a physical knowledge of God's love being poured into our hearts. Lord, we want to break the connections that prevent head knowledge getting to heart. And would you release your love now by your Spirit into people's emotions and hearts as they experience the glory of your love. Come, Holy Spirit.